on tonight, Brother Andrew, will you tell us from your topic, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, this is Brother Andrew Hood. Thank you for the introduction, Brother Stroud. And thank you for Brother Brooks allowing me the opportunity as well to preach, bring the word of God here tonight. And topic is, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. We're coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18 through 25. And first I want to start off with a story. When I was little, when I was a little boy, my granddad, he used to live in Detroit, Michigan, and I'm from Houston. And I didn't know that he was coming down to see us. We barely got to see him because he was so far away. And so one day he came and he knocked at the door, and me and my siblings answered the door, and we were super excited to see him. And I didn't know at the time, but not only were we going to get to see him, but he was taking us fishing. And so we got in the car, and we drove for a few hours, and we finally started to see water. And we got to a large body of water, and we drove our car down to the water, and he unlatched the boat from the car. He pushed it into the water, and we got into the boat. And we rolled the boat far into the water, to say the least. We got so far deep into the water that we could barely see the shoreline anymore. And all I could see around me was deep water, deep blue water. I couldn't see any fish down to the bottom, and I was scared. I couldn't swim. And even though I had on my life jacket, they made sure I had my life jacket on, I was still afraid of the water. But I wasn't afraid when I was back at my apartment and I was swimming the pool. But this water was so deep that I was afraid. It was so deep that I definitely would have drowned if I fell in. And I was amazed when I was a little kid about how much water was out there. There was so much water out there. And I remember thinking, like, I'm super small compared to all this water. And whenever, even today, when I go out into large bodies of water, I get a similar feeling. I feel small. I feel like I can reflect on my life. I feel like my life is brought into perspective. I feel like my problems are smaller because of how what I'm surrounded by is so big. And this is what happens when we draw near to something that is big. It makes us realize how small we are compared to it. This is what happens in our hearts when we draw near to the cross of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, the Apostle Paul discusses the wisdom and the power of the cross. And he lets us know that the cross is not only the basis of becoming saved, but also the basis for keeping us saved. Before we get started this evening, I want to ask the question, why does God use the foolish message of the cross? Somebody said, Brother Huey, why are you calling the message of the cross foolish? Because he called it foolish in his word. 1 Corinthians 18, Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And that last verse may have just become somebody's favorite scripture, because when I was reading that, it was amazing. It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. See, even Jesus, when he was on earth praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to have to go through dying on the cross. So why was this what God used in order to save his people from sin? The answer is because God used this message of the cross in order to show forth his wisdom and his power, not man's wisdom or man's power. Verse 18, it starts off by saying, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul, in this verse, is speaking to two types of people. Either we are perishing, or we are saved. There is no middle ground. Paul writes that those who are perishing consider the cross foolishness. The Greek word for foolishness, I looked it up, it's Moriah. And if your name is Moriah, it doesn't have the H on the end. And another word for it is moros. And this is where we get the word moron from in our language. And it has the meaning that something is ignorant, something is ridiculous or stupid. Foolish. And I know nobody has ever called you a fool in your life, but if they did, how would you feel? This is the word, foolish. This is the word that Paul uses here. Not just one time, he uses it five times throughout these verses. The message of the cross, he calls it foolish. What is Paul saying here? He's saying that most people in this world, they consider the cross to be foolish. They don't understand it. And even if somebody doesn't outwardly acknowledge that they think the cross is foolish, it's still displayed through their actions. Those who are perishing think that it's foolish. They don't have to say it. They can live it. By not taking time to sit and talk with God, not acknowledging God when good things happen in their lives, not giving him glory, not considering God when making plans. And one reason people consider the cross foolish is because we as humans, we've come to believe that in order for us to obtain something that's valuable, we have to work very, very hard to receive it. In other words, we have to deserve the valuable thing. We have to feel like we deserve something valuable that we're receiving. But what Paul is saying is that salvation is free for us. Salvation is freely granted by God's grace through the cross, through his son, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which don't belong to you, which are God's. Paul is saying that salvation is free. So that means that it's not something that we have to be super smart to receive. It's not something that we have to be well-dressed to receive. It's not something that we have to have some type of time that we put into at our jobs or some type of achievement. Saying salvation is based on what Jesus did by dying on the cross. Something else that makes the cross hard for men to understand is that salvation is freely given to everybody. You know, we have come to believe in a meritocracy, meaning that, you know, salvation is based off of merit, what we do. Salvation is extended to everybody, not just Jews, not just the apostles, not just people of a certain class or race, but everybody, anybody that comes to God through faith and obeys the gospel message of the cross. And this can be challenging to understand and comprehend. And while the unbeliever that's perishing, they can consider the cross nonsense, the Christian who is saved sees it as the power of God. Verse number 18, let's read it again. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The word of the cross is not simply something that's just good advice or helpful information, but it is the power of God. In other words, our victory in salvation and life can be attained through the cross. We sing a song called "Victory in Jesus." That's what this is talking about. The cross is everything to us. The cross is our message. It's our hope. It's our confidence. It's our badge of honor. And even though the world might despise the cross, might be getting away from the cross, that's when we put our anchor in. That's when we put 10 toes in. It's the power of God unto us which are saved. If you are saved, the cross is the power of God for you. So for those who are saved, don't take the cross lightly. Lift it up as the hope to the world. There's no power greater than the cross. It's only by the cross that men and women can be lifted out of their sins, that can be released from condemnation, that gives them the opportunity to live a new life, allows them to walk into a new direction. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Lay aside every weight." See, the cross lets us truly repent. What do you mean truly repent, Brother Huey? You know what I mean by truly repent. To truly change your mind and attitude towards that sin that you're struggling with. Bible says in Hebrews 12:11, it says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience that race that is set before us." In verse 19, Paul quotes Old Testament scripture. In Isaiah 29:14, verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." The wisdom of the wise. Bible says he will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Proverbs 14:12, it says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The point is this: every plan that we make that fails to take God into account is made without purpose. See, our problem comes into play when we try to solve problems without God. But God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need any help to solve problems. We need his help. But we act like God needs our help. Bible says that he set aside the cleverness of the wise. in verse number 20, he says, he asks these questions, these rhetorical questions. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Paul is speaking to the scribes. He's speaking to the religious scholars. He's speaking to the philosophers. All of these people were supposed to be perceived as experts. God has not simply, God has not given them the glory. He's letting them know that the wisdom and knowledge that you think that you have, I'm going to make it foolish. Now, the issue is that we have to rely on God in order to interpret what he's saying here. See, Paul is not saying that it's a bad thing to attain knowledge. In Proverbs, Solomon says that in all of your getting, get an understanding. See, God created us to be curious. He created us to be inquisitive, to gather knowledge. But the problem comes in when we don't understand something, and that causes us to lose faith in God. See, when we don't understand something, that shouldn't make us lose our faith and our trust in God. We need to recognize that the knowledge that we have is limited. Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that the secret things are left to God. We won't understand everything on this earth, in this world. God knows everything that can be known. And we need to entrust ourselves to him and recognize that he loves to cut the wise and the powerful down to size. Stay humble. Kendrick Lamar had a song that says, stay humble. The word of the cross is a foolish message designed to help us glorify God for his wisdom and his power. God said he will destroy the wisdom of the wise to show himself wise and powerful. Verse number 21, it says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. See, when Paul was preaching this message, he had the same message when he was talking to the Jews and he was talking to the Greeks. His gospel message was the same. And so the truth in the word is the same, whether you're telling it to people at North Wayside Church of Christ, Highland Heights Church of Christ, the truth needs to be preached the same way. The Bible says, John 17:17, sanctify them with thy word, with thy truth. Thy word is true. Verse number 24, it says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. See, this verse is very powerful, because we know that God is not foolish and God is not weak, but it's written in a way to help us comprehend how awesome God is. See, we may not understand why God is doing what he's doing, we may not understand when he's going to do what he's doing, but we need to learn how to trust in him. Because God's foolishness is always going to be wiser than ours. His weakness is always going to be stronger than our strength. And we may not understand how we're going to get through a situation, but we have to learn how to trust in him. And I'm thankful for this message, because the power of our salvation is in this message, in the cross. The power of God unto salvation. Those who are saved, who are members of the Church of Christ, this is powerful for us. It helps us meditate on something that's going to help us truly repent. Something that's going to make us humble. Something that's going to give us peace. Something that's going to anchor our lives. Something that's going to be like that large body of water that I was on when I was a kid. Made me realize how small I was. The Bible says, God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And Jesus knew that we needed him. Jesus was in heaven and he came down onto earth, lived the perfect life. Jesus was man and he was God. And he experienced every temptation that we did. He experienced fear. He experienced pain. Bible in Matthew chapter 4, he was tempted by Satan. All of this, he never sinned. He was taken through a trial knowing that he was innocent, and he opened not his mouth. He was whipped. He was beat. He was spit upon. He was tortured. He was lonely, hanging on the cross, nails through his hands and his feet, back bleeding like a slave, limbs pulled and twisted, blood sliding through his eyebrows, mouth dry, nothing to drink. Uncomfortable, has to lift himself up to breathe, causing the nails in his hands and his feet to move, causing more pain. This is what Jesus did for us. He set aside his wants and his desires, and he endured agony us. God said that this message is foolishness to those who are perishing. Not only did Christ die on that cross, the Bible says that he could have came down on that, off of that cross. He stayed on that cross for us. And after he died, the Bible says that he was buried in the earth, and that he rose again. Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. This story I just told you was the gospel of Christ. In that same story, he wants us to obey that message. He wants us to hear his word, believe it, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ before men, and to be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. After that, he says that you're saved. And you have the right to eternal life. All you have to do then is stay saved. Stay saved. Stay in his word. Stay going to church. Stay listening. Stay praying. Stay loving. There are those who have any prayer requests who would like to who've fallen along the wayside, who want to repent, those who are not members of the church, who have more questions, who would like to give their life to God, we allow this time as we turn it back over to Brother Stroud.